This is Yusuf.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment. How's everyone week rolling along? I hope everyone is staying safe. I hope everyone have their mask on. I hope everyone is maintaining the distancing. And staying safe.
Yes, I hope everyone had a nice 4th of July. And since there weren't any big blockbuster movies that came out, we are exploring new movies that are being released on the different streaming networks.
Yep.
So this week, we are doing Eurovision.
The Story of Fire Saga. The actual title of this is called Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga.
Yes.
Oh, it's so hilarious. And what is this film about?
This is about aspiring musicians, Lars and Sigrid, are given the opportunity to represent their country at the world's biggest song competition. And they finally have a chance to prove that any dream worth having is a dream worth fighting for.
Yes. And this film stars Will Ferrell, Rachel McAdams, and Dan Stevens. These pretty much the only three we really need to highlight. I mean, there are other people in here, but yeah. It was all about these three characters or these three actors. I'm sorry. And let's not forget Pierce Brosnan as Lars' father.
Yes.
Very good. Yeah. And I didn't notice, but so Demi Lovato. Oh, that's who she was. Okay. So this film takes place in Iceland. Have you ever been to Iceland, Joan?
I haven't. It's definitely on my list of places to go. Maybe once traveling's back to normal, I can go there one day.
Birthday trip?
Or Thanksgiving.
Okay. Right on.
I'm not big on holidays, so a Thanksgiving trip to Iceland is a nice time to escape from the family.
Yeah.
Requirements, and go somewhere.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. So, I mean, this year I was supposed to be going to China for Thanksgiving. That's not happening.
Yeah. Oh god. Yeah. 2020 is just. Just a lot. I mean, just one big L. Like, just stamp a big fat L in front of 2020. Just like loss of traveling, loss of, everything.
Right. On the upside of not traveling or doing any of those things is I'm saving money because I don't have to get a dog sitter or pay for any of the travel. So, trying to find the positive in it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely have more disposable income, especially, since you can't go to bars, you can't go to the Prince to have one of those cocktails, which sucks. But right. Well,
I finally watched Chinatown since we kept going to the Prince.
So. You mean you finally watched it again or you never seen Chinatown?
I've never seen it.
Oh, okay. Better late than never.
Yeah.
Got to put the whole L.A. water thing in perspective, eh?
Well, it's a very good movie, people. Go watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets ass on the sofa.
Yes. And we haven't even reviewed it. So speaking of Iceland, our two main characters, Lars and Sigrid, Yeah, they're at the beginning. You think they're brother and sisters, but they're not.
Right, and so that's like an ongoing joke throughout the movie. And the reason why they think they might be brother and sister is because Lars's father, played by Pierce Brosnan, Erik Erikson, apparently is the man whore of the town and has slept with all of the women.
Yep.
So a lot of people think that all the children in town are his offspring.
It's very hilarious. Lars and Sigrid have, you know, this kinship, this, you know, they mesh in a creative musical way, and, you know, and Sigrid is the vocal. Lars sing also, but yeah, Sigrid is more of the front vocal person, right? And Lars is more like behind the keyboard, kind of doing his thing behind her, like
in my mind it'd be like if the Black Keys, you have definitely one person that does most of the singing and the other person that sort of does the drumming. Right. So in this part it's one person does the keyboard and the other person does a lot of the singing.
Yeah, so I did not know about them because I'm American and I don't really know this. But I mean, I thought Eurovision was like just something made up for this movie.
No, it's a real serious thing that outside of the U.S. they take it very seriously.
Yes. Because ABBA, that's the reason why they get famous, because they won like a Eurovision that year, right?
So that's how the movie starts out. We see Lars and Sigrid as kids at like a family function or family party, and everyone's watching Eurovision, and it's ABBA singing Waterloo.
Yeah, Waterloo, yeah.
And winning the Eurovision contest.
Yeah, and so this drives our main character to represent Iceland and win Eurovision.
And also when we see that scene, it's right after Lars's mom has died, and it's the first thing that has really inspired him after his mother has passed away. And for those that aren't familiar with Eurovision, which you don't need to be for the movie, it's basically each country nominates one band that they think will win, and then they send them to the Eurovision contest, which is held in a different city each year.
Mm-hmm.
The hosting city is usually the previous year's winner. So
right. Yeah, and so this raises a red flag with like the head people of Iceland, because they really have to think about this. It's like, okay, well, if we win this year, we're going to have to host, but Iceland is so small. How are we going to fit the world in Iceland for Eurovision?
Right, yeah. So the finance guy for Iceland's like, we can't win because we can't host that many people. We don't have anything large enough for it. Whereas you have all the non-finance people in the country government saying, who cares? We'll figure that out. It's more important to win.
Exactly. Like, woo. And the front runner, pretty much the shoe-in that's going to win or represent Iceland for Eurovision, is Katjana, played by Demi Lovato. So pretty much everyone is like, all right, so she's representing us. She's like, she's singing like an angel, and like everyone just know. And so it's at a point where Lars and Sigrid is like, well, we might as well hang it up because, you know, Katjana is, just listen to her. She's amazing.
Right. I mean, but they're still super excited to get to the like country contest.
Right. Exactly.
And side note is that Sigrid is very much in touch with her like Viking roots and still believes in the elves.
Mm-hmm.
So before they go off to compete in the country competition, she makes an offering to the elves asking for them to help her and Lars make it to Eurovision.
And offerings is usually in the form of like biscuits and like some alcohol. You know, it's like something, yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. So she, like, she prays and leaves stuff at the little door, the little doors of the little houses on the side of this hill. Yeah. And so they off to, you know, do their number.
When right, they, so their band is, I mean, besides being the worst band at the country competition, they're also sort of a hot mess in that they are unprepared and sort of accident prone.
Yeah.
And when they get up on stage to do their performance, everything goes wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, they come in last place in there, but as part of like the competition, everyone's invited out to a boat party.
Mm-hmm.
And they skip the boat party and that boat explodes. So basically everyone, all the good singers get killed and Sigrid and Lars are now going to Eurovision.
Right. Yeah. So they're the only ones to represent Iceland because Katjana got blown up in the boat, on the boat, doing a boat party. So by default, they're representing Iceland for the Eurovision singing contest.
Right, so I mean, the elves came in. I mean, they did their job.
Pretty much. So as well, so we think. And so, hold on, where is Eurovision? Where would Eurovision taking place? Which
I don't think they ever tell us.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, so they get there, right? And so we meet kind of key people from, you know, different countries. Like Alexander Limtoff, played brilliantly by the Dan Stevens.
Right. And he's the band, the singer from Russia. And his song, what is his song called again?
Like
something tiger.
Yeah, no, yeah, lion love. Yeah, something love like a lion something.
Right.
And I know they had a lion in there.
And it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, goodness.
There's a, like, his character is so obviously gay, but because he's from Russia, he can't be gay because being gay is illegal in Russia.
Right.
And so he has, and so he's constantly hitting on women. And everyone's like, we know you're gay, whatever. Right.
Yeah, because he's in love with like his handler or like his assistant or someone. Yeah, with someone. Yeah, because like, yeah, every time he say he's looking at him, you know.
Yeah, his dancer or yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. And then we have, was it Mita that was representing Greece?
Yeah, I don't remember her name.
Yes.
But we meet a bunch of different musicians. And so when the first night at Eurovision is like a big giant party at the Russians' house, and they do a group sing-along. And this scene actually was a fantastic... Remember, I don't like musicals. This was amazing. It was so good. It was a fun music video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They actually have a lot of past Eurovision contestants in this scene and actually in the movie. So we have John Ludvig from Sweden, Anna Odemsky from Moldova, Bilal Hassani from France, Laureen from Sweden, Jesse Matador, France, Alexander Ryback, Norway, Jamala from Ukraine, Elena Nechevia from Estonia,
right.
Conchita Wurst from Austria, Nena Barzali from Israel, and Salvador Sobral from Portugal. So they had real musicians, and it's just, that scene is amazing.
Yeah, how they mash up different songs, you know, right behind each other. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because when they kind of whip pan to certain singers, it was almost like I should know who they are, because it was a lot of emphasis on these, like, specific singers, and then now you're telling me, that's like, oh, okay, they were the Eurovision singer who won real song. I mean, Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, cool. It made sense.
So, yeah, I feel like this film was definitely, I mean, it's made for obviously American audiences, but it holds up what people in other countries might thoroughly enjoy about Eurovision and seeing all these musicians that they might recognize from previous contests.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. You know, giving the real Eurovision people shouts out there. That was pretty dope. So, when all is said and done, the singer who represents, I think it's Greece, kind of whisks Lars over one way, and Alexander whisks Sigrid over to the other end of the party, and Alexander's trying to, get like, stand around, party. Sigrid, she's like, when next time we ever gonna do this again? Like, let's party. And Lars is a little reserved. He's like, no. I was like, well, if you want to go, you go. That's fine. I'm just gonna go back to the room. Yeah. And so he goes back to the room, and the singer from Greece kind of intercepts him and goes to the room, and then she jumps on him and it kind of cuts away, to the club where Sigrid and Alexander's kind of dancing and all that stuff. She's getting drunk. What I love about Sigrid, this is like, and it's so funny, like, how visual gags, when done right, can be hilarious. Like, Alexander just always gives Sigrid two drinks. So she's always double fisted. And she don't think nothing of it. She just grabbed the two drinks. She's like, oh, thank you. And she just like guzzle. She don't question it. She just like grabs it like, oh, okay. And just drink it. And it was another time when he was like, oh, here, you think he's gonna like hold one and give her one, but he just gives her both of the drinks. And it's just like, it's just like, oh, thank you. It's just like drinking, double fisted drinking. I thought that was every time, like, and I think Alexander did it like 2-3 times throughout the movie, and every time I laugh. I don't know.
It's funny. The first time he did that, I was like, oh, he's trying to take her out because he knows that she's a good singer. And then it was just like, no, it's just his thing.
Yeah.
Because he wants to make sure she gets nice and drunk so that when he takes her back to the room, she passes out and nothing physical happens between the two of them. Yeah. But it looks like he's taking women back to his room.
Yeah, and like I said, she like alcohol, so hey, all works out.
It was Edinburgh, Scotland is where the contest was.
Okay, yeah, I'm like, Scotland. Okay, I was like, yeah, it definitely wasn't Ireland. It was one of those lands. A Sigrid wakes up with her like hair miraculously braided, very nice. And she's like, did we do anything? And Alexander was like, oh, no, of course not. We didn't. And she was like, my hair is immaculately braided for some reason. And Alexander said, I'd like to do that sometime. He's sleeping like the braid hair, whatever. And so she runs back to the hotel. Lars, like where her and Lars stand, she busts in and she sees Lars and the Grease singer in bed together, sleeping. And so she's all pissed off. So this kind of sparks the friction. It's like a second act friction, between your main characters. You got to have that obstacle. You got to have that splinter. it was in a fun way, and then at the same time, back home in Iceland, you got the dad that's kind of like, my son's a loser. He's never going to win. Just keep it on soccer. Don't turn to Eurovision. Just keep watching the football game and all that stuff. So he's totally detached. And we slowly see in the townspeople like, but hey, they're representing us. We got to at least show them some love. So one thing I like about this film, like I said, I made comments about movies like just kind of like making fun of things and then like, you know, some movies just kind of being mean about stuff. Like, to me, I don't think this movie made fun of your vision. I mean, it poked a little fun at it. It poked a little fun in a fun, like, you know, disrespectful way. I mean, to the point where it had me curious about your vision. I mean, like, I kind of want to look into this a little more after this movie.
Yeah, so on IMDb, one of the first reviews for this movie is from someone from Norway, and it's like, if you're not familiar with Eurovision contest, it's still funny.
Yes. All right. So wait a minute. Okay. So they have their song, right?
So as we're seeing, like, the division grow between Lars and Sigrid, because the other singers are getting involved with them. We're also seeing a divide because Lars's vision for what their performance should be is very glossy and very high-end, very Hollywood. But Sigrid just wants to stay to who they are and keep it about the music. And so there's a division there. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, we get to the night of the big performance, and Lars has come sort of back to where Sigrid is, but he still wants that big display. And so they have like a giant hamster wheel on stage, and fire and dancers and everything that you would expect to see at a giant music competition. And you know, as is on brand for them, their performance goes wrong, and Sigrid and Lars fall into the crowd and then have to get up and start singing. And at this point in time, you know, the show must go on even when things break.
Yeah.
Lars thinks that their future at Eurovision is over, and he's like, I'm over this, I'm leaving, I don't want to be embarrassed in front of all of my colleagues. And Sigrid's like, we made it here, I'm going to stick it out because we're, you know, I'm a musician, I'm an artist, and I'm going to the artist room to see how we do. Yeah. And, you know, spoiler alert, they get votes, and there's 10 finalists that make it to the final night.
Right.
And they are the number 10 winners that make it to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
But Lars has gone home to become a fisherman with his father. Mm-hmm.
and Sigrid sticks around because she's so excited that they made the top 10.
And Lars isn't aware of any of that. So he finally finds out that they made it to the finals, and he has to get from Iceland to Scotland. But before he goes, he wants to go thank the elves and ask for them to help them do well in the finals. And this is when he runs into the finance government guy. And the finance government guy is like, I'm the one that blew up all the artists. I didn't think you'd make it this far. It wasn't the elves helping you. At this point in time, the elves take it out and kill the government finance guy.
A knife in the back.
So
Lars rushes back, mad dash back to Eurovision, the stadium. He come across the same American tourist, which, like I said, which is some hilarious scenes, how Lars just kind of just talking about the American tourist.
Yeah, everyone hates you.
Yeah, everyone hates you.
American tourists outside of America are viewed as Karens.
It's like, go back to your Starbucks. Like, yeah. Just go, just leave, get away. We don't want you here. So pretty much the American tourist ends up like racing him to the stadium in time for him to get on stage before Sigrid can really get into her song. So Lars intercepts it. He stops the song and he tells Sigrid, you know, you have to sing, you know, what you're passionate about. You got to sing what you love, you know. And I think the rule of Eurovision is you can't sing a foreign, like if you sing something in your language, you're disqualified. Is that what it was? I forget.
No, it's you have to sing, you enter one song into the contest, okay. And then you have to stick with that one song. So because she switched songs in the middle of the contest, that disqualified them. Mm.
But so, they didn't care. They sung their heart out. They sung the countryman song.
Right, because it is about the music. It's not about the performance. And it's not about winning. It's what's true to your heart as an artist. And Lars finally recognized that because his entire life had been about winning and not necessarily about the art. Mm-hmm. And Sigrid had been about the art and being with Lars because she loved him.
Yeah. Yeah, and they felt the perfect harmony with each other. And yeah, you know, it was the lighter in the air moment, you know. It was the Prince singing Purple Rain at the end of the movie Purple Rain moment, you know. Everybody just is like, yes, you know, they felt it. And of course, you know, Iceland, you know, they're watching on TV, they're crying. They're like, we're so proud of them.
But they didn't win because they got disqualified.
Yeah.
The Icelanders were also very proud of them because they, the song they ended up singing did have some Icelandic language in it.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. So they found their voice. They found their melody. They found their harmony. Yeah. And they found love. Damn it. And so they finally got together. Sigrid and Lars. Yeah. They finally connected. The walls are officially broken down, and they're lovers. And then what we flash forward, was it a year?
I think it's a year. Yeah, a year and a few months.
Yeah.
Or a couple years.
Yeah.
But they're together. They have a baby. They're back in their local pub, singing the songs that everyone likes to sing along to.
Right. Oh, what was the name of it?
I know. I was like, that's a fantastic song.
Yeah, it's like saying, but baby, but like, da, da, da. So I forget what it was. Yeah. Because it was like, oh, you want to hear our Eurovision song? Everybody was like, no. You want us to sing the song again? Yes. And so, you know, everybody saying, so yeah. And they live happily ever after back in Iceland. And that's Eurovision.
Yep.
I was on the fence about this film, watching it actually until Genoa, like, shot a text saying, you know, she watched it. No, I think it was a Facebook page or something you put up about Eurovision. I was like, okay, because we know you, we know your preference, we know your taste. We know what you stay away from and what you kind of gravitate towards. And when I seen Eurovision the trailer, I was like, yeah, like, no. Like, this subject will probably watch 5 minutes of, like, no.
Right. But, well, and I'm typically not a fan of Will Ferrell movies. I kind of find him juvenile. Right.
Oh, he's a one-trick pony. He's a one-trick pony.
Yeah, exactly. So I was surprised that I, so from a ratings perspective, yes, to, like, keep your ass on the sofa for me.
Okay, yeah, so she got a butt on the sofa. Yeah. She is ass on the sofa from the ratings of ass on the sofa good, putting your shoes on, kind of playing, going outside, meh, going outside and risking corona and police brutality, very bad. Right. Yeah, so good. Yeah.
this is very enjoyable. It's lighthearted. It's fun. Normally, I'm not into that whole romance thing, but it's not a major. I mean, they kind of make fun of it throughout the movie, so I appreciate that.
Yeah.
The music scenes, the singing scenes, the performance scenes were amazing. Pierce Brosnan is fantastic as, like, the grumpy father. It's funny, like, I watched an interview with him, and he was like, I sang in Mamma Mia, and so I asked them if they wanted me to sing in this, and they're like, it's not in line with your character. We don't need you to sing.
Look at Pierce. Look at Juan trying to sing again. I agree with you. I mean, actually, this is a good movie for, like, what we need right now, which is, like, something fun, you know, something you could just sit back and just, you know, just have a good laugh. Like I said, it wasn't mean. It was good-hearted. It had a good spirit towards it, like, the whole, like, movie, the characters. Yeah, it was just all-out, just, you know, just fun, lighthearted, good-spirited. Yeah, it was. And actually, it definitely got me curious about Eurovision Song Contest.
So Eurovision 2020 was canceled because of the virus. But hopefully it'll come back next year. But
did they say where it's going to be next year?
I don't remember.
Can, like, people, like, actually, like go, like, fly to the country where you're from? Okay. I wonder how much it costs to, like, go to those, to the contests.
I'm sure it's a few hundred dollars.
You mean $2,000?
Yeah. I'm sure it's like going to an F1 race, and that it is very high end, and yeah.
It's like going to Monaco.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be pretty interesting, though. That would be pretty hilarious, actually. So there you have it, guys. Hold on.
This is family friendly.
It was very family friendly. It's very family friendly. Yes.
And not my version of family friendly. It really is.
It is family friendly. Yes. It's PG-13, so it's fine. Everyone could watch it. So there you have it. Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga. Kind of reminds me of Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy. Or Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. Okay, I'm going to give Will Ferrell a couple of them. I give him Anchorman, I give him Ricky Bobby. I give him Old School. I give him that one.
I'll give him Old School.
Yeah.
Anchorman was fine. The second one was it the second or the third one? How many of those did they make?
He only made two.
Okay, the second one was stupid. That was just a why.
Yeah.
I didn't like Talladega Nights. I didn't like the ice skating one either.
Yeah, that could have been funnier. Because that was a prime premise to just be hilarious, and I didn't really find it that funny for some reason. I don't know. So there you go. We will see you guys on the flip side Thursday, where we will visit the Boys of Summer in a certain Midwest town playing a certain stickball sport. Until Thursday, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
keep your mask on.
Yes. Peace.